We thank God for our music ministry. Can you hear me? It's not on. Well, you pray with me. So today is one of those days when being a loud talker comes in handy. I have a big, loud voice anyway. Our scripture lesson is Psalm number 78, 1 through 4, and 12 through 16. The New International Version. And the text reads, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers." The word of our God. Thank you, ushers. A wonder-working God. I read an astonishing article about a week ago about what's happening to surgeons across this country and around the world. Surgeons are some of the best paid doctors. And being a surgeon is one of the most respected professions in the world. And despite that, doctors are dying by suicide at higher rates than the general population. Somewhere between 300 to 400 physicians a year in the United States take their own lives. And that's the equivalent of one medical school graduating class annually. And it was interesting to note that surgeons have some of the highest known rates of suicide among physicians. Of 697 physician suicides reported to the CDC's National Violent Death Reporting System between 2003 and 2017, 71 were surgeons. And many more go unreported. For years, no one in surgery talked publicly about mental distress in the profession. Surgeons have long experienced a culture of silence when it comes to their own personal pain. They have a reputation as stoic, determined, and driven. They are taught throughout a decade of grueling training to dissociate themselves from their bodies natural cues telling them that it is time to rest, time to eat, or even time to relieve themselves. Surgery, especially, has been cruel to its practitioners, who suffer high rates of burnout, ergonomic injuries, miscarriages, and infertility. Isn't that something? Some of the highest paid doctors in the nation, one of the most respected professions in the nation, has the highest rate of suicide, more than the general population. If people in one of the most respected professions of life, if doctors who are some of the highest income earners are taking their lives, it says that folks, despite their socioeconomic status, need hope, need support, and need an anchor to ground their lives. You would think that because they have all the money they have, and all the resources and all the prestige, that they would be all right. And some of us who are struggling with our finances and struggling to deal with pressures would think that we're the only ones struggling. You look at the big houses and say they've got it all made. That's not always the case. We cannot depend upon education and economic status to guide us through life. We need an anchor to hold us together and to keep us grounded. When I read this article, I could see more clearly the importance of the message in Psalm 78. In the text, the writer speaks about the importance of passing on to future generations the story of God's work among his people. In fact, God's people are commanded to teach their children and those who are yet to be born about the wonders of God. These lessons are to be taught so that children can set their hopes in God. How will our children know about hope unless we tell them? These lessons are to be taught so that future generations will not repeat the mistakes of former generations. These lessons are to be taught so that future generations will remain steadfast, not forgetting what God has done. Older generations must teach their children and future generations the testimony of God's wonder-working power. Because, beloved, the past informs the present. When you don't know your history, you don't know who you are. And more than that, when you don't know your history, then you allow what's going on in the present to take away your hope, and you forget that God is the anchor for your life. Folks need to know who God is and what God has done so that despair and burdens do not overwhelm them. What has God done? Good question. I'm glad you asked. God has delivered his people. The text says, he did miracles in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. Look at that image. He made the water stand up like a wall. This passage speaks to the Exodus, the deliverance of God's people from Egyptian bondage. And the text mentions the city of Zoan, a city in the northern delta of Egypt. And Zoan, if you recall, was the site of some of those Egyptian plagues. You remember God sent all these plagues into Egypt to take care of Pharaoh and his people and to get the Israelites ready for deliverance. Egypt was a mighty imperial power. But Egypt was brought to prominence by the work of Joseph, who was a descendant of the people of Israel. And after Joseph died, a new Pharaoh came to power, who according to the scripture knew not Joseph. And so when this new leader got in charge, he decides that God's people are too numerous, and he sets in motion a plan to contain and control God's people. And he takes these Israelites and puts them into slavery and works them as slaves in a massive building program. There's a lesson there, beloved. You might be getting along well on your job, and you might be getting along well with your superiors, but then a new leader comes in town, and that new leader can upend everything that has happened in the past. There are sometimes new people who gain power who have no regard for what happened before they arrive. Speak about the former president of the United States. He has no regard for what happened before he arrived. He went to the United Auto Workers picket line, and he talked to them about it and told them, well, don't worry about it. You're going to lose your jobs anyway, because your jobs are going to be replaced by electric vehicles. Yeah, what kind of message is that? They come to destroy you and destroy your future. It's important for God's people to know their history, because if they learn their history, they will learn that God is a deliverer. God brings the people out of slavery, and he brings them out of Egypt. Succeeding generations must know that they are who they are and they are where they are because God brought them out and God delivered. And I tell my children all the time, whatever you have is because of the church, because the church has provided the living for your parents for nearly 40 years. And everything that you've accomplished is because of the people of God in the churches that we have served. It's important for people to know their history and to discover that God is a deliverer. This congregation is located in East Austin. And East Austin has a long and storied history. You know, for years, African Americans were relegated to East Austin. They couldn't go in certain places in this city. And even Interstate 35 separated African Americans from the larger community and resources. But folks in East Austin built homes, they built businesses, and they formed a strong and viable community. Many of them fought and struggled to maintain a standard of life that was decent, independent, and respectable. And of course, integration has its values and advantages, but integration in many communities across this nation destroyed strong African American communities and tore down all of the things that they had built up and established. Many of that generation that built East Austin have died off, and they sleep on the other side. And there are folks who don't know the history of East Austin, and there are developers who don't care about the past. Each week I take a CD from this our worship, and I drop it at the home of Sister Katie Hancock, and she has a neighbor who comes by and gets the CD out of the mailbox and takes it to her. And when I go to her house each week, I see more and more development. These many mansions being erected and these houses being rehabbed by developers. And I see how developers are building homes and taking over. They want East Austin. That's why the University of Texas has migrated across Interstate 35. They want this land, they want these properties, and they want to take all they can and leave those in East Austin with nothing. But when you know your history, you know that God is a deliverer. And I'm telling you, Ebenezer, don't sell your soul for 30 pieces of silver. God has brought us and God has kept us. I don't care what the developer promises. The developer is not giving out money for free. This church owns all of its property free and clear. And if a developer comes in and says, I'm going to do this and that, and puts out millions of dollars to do this and that, then that developer will have control of this land and control of our congregation. You better hear me. You better hear me. When you know your history, you realize what has God done? He has delivered his people. But God has also led his people. The text says, he guided them with the cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. And when it talks about that cloud in the daytime and that fire at night, it's speaking about the wandering of the people in the wilderness. Because after the people were brought out of Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness. They wandered for 400 years. You know what the wilderness is like? It's void of resources. The wilderness is the place that exposes you to the elements. You don't have a place to live. When you don't have covering over your body, you're exposed to the elements, exposed to the heat, exposed to the cold, exposed to the dangers of the wilderness. In the wilderness, the people experience the vulnerability of death. Many of us, this isn't on my paper, many of us don't really understand what it's like to experience homelessness. We don't know what it's like to live on the streets with nothing. No support, no help. You're vulnerable. And you're vulnerable to what's out there. You're vulnerable to death. The people of God have no land. They have no food. They have no protection. And children need to know about the wilderness, because it is God who leads them through the wilderness. God leads them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That says to the people, this is the way I want you to go. Camp here today, and tomorrow move to this place. And every place they go, God leads them. The people don't know where they are going, but God knows. And when you've got a good leader, you don't worry about the journey. How did the people get to where they are? God leads them, and God stays with them. God guides their steps and outlines their itinerary. And so our children and those yet unborn need to know about the guidance of God. They need to know that we didn't get to where we are without the wisdom and the leadership of God. Don't just tell your children about your career. Don't just tell your children about your accomplishments. Let them know that God was at work in your life every step of the journey. And tell your children that were it not for the goodness and the guidance of God, you would not have made it this far. You would not have accomplished what you accomplished. The World Wide Web, the Internet, is a brilliant invention. It connects us. It informs us. It helps us. You remember, those of you who are old enough to remember the Desert Storm War. We saw the fighting on the Internet. In real time, we saw it. It was incredible to see it in real time. The Internet is also a source of trouble, because too many folks are getting their cues and their values from the internet. The internet teaches them how to dress. They see Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. This latest video they got out. And they say, that's how I want to dress. I want these long decorated fingernails. I want my waist to be snatched. And my rump to explode. That isn't on my paper. I just dropped it off. The internet teaches them how to wear their hair. I don't want to harp on women, because women, especially African American women, have had a hard time and a lot of struggles throughout their journey. But some of the stuff that you see on the internet is not good. The internet teaches us to become puppets and mimics, because we want to do whatever they want to do. We're getting our cues from the original fools online, and rappers who have no standards and values, even in the church. We mimic what we see online. We have no original ideas. We're not praying to the God and asking the Holy Spirit, what should we do? We're not looking in the Word for guidance. We troll the internet to design our worship. We look at what some other church is doing and we mimic what they are doing. No original thoughts, no thinking, just mimicry. And that's the problem with those surgeons. They were mimicking what they saw older surgeons and other generations do. And they were following what their predecessors have done, and they lost their souls. Let me say, beloved, children need to be shaped by their parents and shaped by their faith. And you've got to keep them off the internet and try your best to block them from some of these outside influences that will destroy them. They need to understand that only God can lead them. My daughters, when they were younger, at first we could go to the store, you know, Nordstrom or whatever store, find nice dresses for girls to wear that made them look like little girls. But increasingly those nice dresses got replaced with little grown women dresses. They were dresses for older women, but in miniature form. And what kind of stuff is that? And we put that stuff on our children, trying to make them look cute, but we're teaching them the wrong lessons. It's not just what we have in our heads. It's what we have in our hearts. And our children should not listen to the negative voices on the internet telling them they're not beautiful, telling them bad things, and leading them to take their own lives. There are too many folk trolling the internet, giving out the wrong messages, and bullying our children. We've got to do something about it. And so they need to know that God is a leader, that they get their guidance from God, that God is the one who guides their lives. God delivers, God leads, and then finally, God provides for his people. The text says, he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. So God's people are wandering in the wilderness for 400 years, but God provides. God gives them food. God gives them water to drink. God sustains them physically and emotionally. Remember, they have no jobs. They experience homelessness, but when they need something, God provides it. And the point is that God operates with divine power. God is able to provide water from a rock because God has power. You remember the story? They complained to Moses. They said, why did you bring us out of Egypt so that we can die here in the wilderness? We've got no water to drink. And Moses turns to God and says, these people are complaining. What am I going to do? And God said to Moses, take the rod in your hand, and I want you to strike the rock. And Moses strikes the rock, and water comes gushing out. That's why our children need to know about God and know their history. Because only God can hit a rock and make water come out of it. You've got to show up to work to get your money. You've got to go to H-E-B to get your food. But God doesn't need a food truck. God doesn't need a water hose. God can hit a rock in the desert and make water come out of that rock. Our children need to understand the source of their provisions. They need to know that God is in charge and that God is the one who provides. We've been watching the news about the government shutting down. Well, some of you have been watching it. And folks in Congress have been threatening to close down the government. And they don't care that the lives of people hang in the balance. I stopped watching it because it was the same circus all over again. And they put on these stories about soldiers and families and people and seniors. They will lose their checks and lose all this to make people feel bad. I don't even watch it because I said to myself, those old boys in Congress don't care anything about that. They don't care about the lives of people. The lesson is we cannot entrust our survival to the government. We cannot entrust our survival to men and women caught up in a web of political machinations. We need a power greater than the government. We need a power greater than career politicians. And then last night at the last minute, they passed a bill, 45 days. In 45 days, we'll be back at it again. Same old story, just a different time. But when you know your history, you not only know what you came through, but you also know how you came through it. You know that God has provided for your life. I get it. It's more difficult today than it was for previous generations. Rent is higher. Mortgages are higher. Food is higher. I get it. It's hard to make it. But beloved, we know about struggles. We know about storms and difficulties. And that we are in this sanctuary and online today is a testament that the God we serve has been a wonder worker. God does provide. Why should we tell our children about what God has done? Our children need to know that there is a power greater than this world. They need to know so that they don't make the mistakes of former generations. They need to know so that they can put their hope in God. A woman was found shot to death last week in the Sunnyside neighborhood of Houston. She was less than 20 years of age. Just dropped off in the field, shot to death. In Chicago, a man was walking down the street, eating his breakfast, when two men jumped him in broad daylight, beat him down on the ground, took his wallet, cell phone, and left him wounded. School teacher in Houston shot his wife to death in front of their three-year-old child. And just this past week, New York City was flooded by more than 8 inches of rain. Did you all see that? Rain shut down parts of the city. Rain running down the stairs, down into the subway, and rain in the terminal at the airport. I tell you, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how much money you have. A storm will show up. It's rough out there. There are problems in every city. It's rough out there. But our children need an anchor. They need a story that will ground them and shape our perspective. We need to tell our children, do not accept the verdict of the world. Do not accept what they're telling you online. Do not accept the negative voices who tell you you cannot make it. Do not accept the verdict of the world. We need to say, whose report are you going to believe? Because we will believe the report of the Lord. They need to know about a power that will keep them from falling into despair. They need to know about a power that will counter the sense of nihilism present in the world. So y'all stop going around here worrying about folks, what they say, what they don't do, what they stop doing. Don't worry about that. Don't go around holding your head down because some knucklehead doesn't like you. Don't worry about that. God is in charge. And teach your children the same spirit to trust in God, because children need to know that God is a wonder-working God. God has delivered his people. God has led his people. God has provided for his people. God is a wonder worker. God has the power to set us free. God has the power to guide our steps. God has the power to provide for our needs. God has the power to protect us. God has the power, wonder working power, to make a way out of no way. Let's stay there for a moment. A way out of no way. Pastor, what do you mean by no way? No way is where there is no answer. No way is when there is no help. No way is when there is no friend or support system. No way is when there is no plan B. No way is when there is no money. No way is when you should have been dead. No way is when the cancer is terminal. No way is when you can't see how you're going to make it. God has the power to make a way out of no way. He's a wonder-working God. God works in a no-way situation. When all else fails, God starts to work. And when God works, mountains fall. When God works, burdens are lifted. When God works, the storm stops raging. When God works, he wakes you up in the morning. When God works, he keeps food on the table. When God works, he lifts up a bowed down head. When God works, he holds you in the midst of the storm. That's the message that we ought to share with our children and tell future generations and generations yet to be born about a wonder-working God. And let them know that I'm here today because the Lord has brought me every step of the way. I'm talking to somebody in here today, and somebody here online does not know how they're going to make it. But I want you to know, God will not fail. God will not let you down. God will go with you every step of the way. We extend the invitation to Christian discipleship as our ministers, deacons, and greeters come. We invite you to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Will you stand with me? Invitation to Christ. Power. There is power. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood.
Would you or evil victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the flesh. There is power. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Wonder working power in the precious blood. One more time, there is power. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in, oh, there is power, power, wonder working power of the Lamb. God bless you. In the precious blood. I want our deacons, deaconesses, and trustees, ministers to line up as we prepare to come around and extend the right hand of fellowship to Cecily Hill. And let me just read this certificate as they line up. And Cecily, will you come down front and stand right here? It says, the certificate says, Cecily Hill, having manifested credible evidence that she has been converted and has entered into covenant with Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, and having completed the course of instruction for new members, is hereby awarded this certificate, commending her for the further joys of the Christian life and church membership. Pastor Ricky Freeman, Deacon Greg Roberson, teacher.